In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Have you heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt? What that means is the more you do something, the easier it is to dislike it. Maybe you dislike it because you find all the faults in it. Maybe you dislike it because you find out there's really no benefit of it. Maybe you dislike it because it's simply become old or monotonous. But whatever the case is, the expression says, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, can that happen with this sacrament that our Lord instituted on this night? The night he was betrayed, the night his suffering and death began. Can familiarity with this sacrament breed contempt for it? After all, that's one of the arguments that Christians make against an every Sunday celebration of Holy Communion. They say if you receive it so often, it won't be that special. So is that true? Can familiarity with the sacrament breed contempt for it? Well, to answer that question, I think first off, it's helpful to recognize where all contempt, dislike, hatred, or boredom originate from. They don't originate from your new man, the man of faith, the one who is united to Christ. He rejoices every time he receives a blessing, even if it's the same blessing over and over and over again, because he sees every blessing as a gift from his Father in heaven. But all contempt or dislike or hatred or boredom, well, they originate inside your old man, that wicked, evil, sinful flesh. For he doesn't see any blessing as a gift from Father in heaven. And so he doesn't receive any joy in it. Instead, he bounces from one thing to another, constantly searching in the hopes that somehow, some way, he can find peace and joy, which he will never find apart from Christ. It's why for the old man, the wicked, evil, sinful flesh, familiarity does breed contempt. And if that's true with physical blessings, how much truer isn't that going to be of spiritual blessings? For let's be clear, this old man, this wicked, evil, sinful flesh that we all still have, he hates being in the presence of God. He hates being where God dwells. For he knows what God can and will do to him. He knows that God can and will destroy him, and he doesn't want to be destroyed. And so is it any wonder why your old man, why my old man, this wicked, old, sinful flesh that we all have, is it any wonder why he hates this sacrament of Holy Communion? For think about the opening words of the liturgy once we move to the service of Holy Communion. The first words are, the minister says, "The Lord be with you." And you respond by saying, "And also with you." And these words are not just throwaway words. They're not empty words. But these words show why the old man hates this sacrament. These words show why it is such a privilege for us to receive this sacrament. It's because in this sacrament, the Lord is with us. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in our text from 1 Corinthians. He said, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ?" You see, Paul did not ask those questions because he was looking for an answer. He didn't ask those questions because he was wondering, is Christ's body and blood really there? Paul knew what the sacrament was. Instead, Paul asks those questions to emphasize and stress a point to the Corinthians. It was to remind them that the Lord himself is really present in that sacrament, for in this sacrament there is Jesus' body and blood. Yes, the very body of Jesus. The body that hung on Calvary's cross. The body that was beaten and whipped and pierced for you. That body is united with the bread in a miraculous way, so that when you receive that bread with your mouth, you are also receiving the very body of Jesus with your mouth. For as Jesus said when he instituted this holy meal, "Take it, this is my body given for you." And the very blood of Christ, the actual blood that poured out of his veins as he hung on the cross, the actual blood that he shed when he was whipped and beaten and pierced for you, that actual blood is connected with the wine in a miraculous way. So that when you receive that wine with your mouths, you are also receiving the very blood of Christ. As Jesus himself said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you." For when the elements of bread and wine are blessed, when the word of consecration, the words of institution are spoken over them, a miraculous union takes place. Christ's body is united with the bread, and Christ's blood is united with the wine, so that when you come forward to receive this sacrament, you are receiving the very body and very blood of Jesus in, with, and under the bread and wine. And if the very body and blood of Jesus is present, as he says, if Jesus' very body and blood go inside of you, well, then you who are repentant of your sins, you can be certain of this one truth. You can be certain that you're receiving the forgiveness of sins. Christ's holy body and holy blood are going inside of you to unite with your sinful body and your sinful blood, so that your sinful body and blood can be cleansed from all sins. That's what's happening in this sacrament. It's why our Lord instituted it on this night, the night he was betrayed. He wanted to show how close of a connection there is between the sacrament of Holy Communion and his suffering and death. For every time you receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, you are receiving what Jesus won for you by his suffering and death. You are receiving forgiveness, life, and salvation. And so is it any wonder why your old man and my old man, this wicked old sinful flesh that we still have, is it any wonder why he hates this sacrament of Holy Communion and will do whatever he can to persuade you not to receive it? The Lord is with us in this sacrament. He is with us in a most intimate way as he gives us his very body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. And our old man hates that because it destroys him and he doesn't want to be destroyed. And so since our old man can't convince us that there is nothing wrong with this sacrament because Christ's body really is there, since our old man can't convince us that there's no benefit to receiving this sacrament since we receive the forgiveness of sins, our old man turns to a different attack against this sacrament. He will try to convince you, try to convince me, that receiving this sacrament has just become old and monotonous. For think about how often you have received this sacrament of Holy Communion in your life. Depending on how old you are and how long you've been a member of the church, many of you have probably received this sacrament thousands of times. In fact, in just the past year, even with this strange COVID year where we went virtual a couple of different occasions, this sacrament was still offered over 40 times. That's just in the past year. And so your old man, your wicked, evil, sinful flesh, my old man, my wicked, evil, sinful flesh, will try to convince us that it's become old and monotonous. Give me something new, it'll say. Give me something different. Give me something a little better. After all, familiarity breeds contempt, right? When our wicked old man rears its ugly head and tries to convince us that there's no benefit of receiving this sacrament as often as we can, not only can we remember that Christ's body and blood are united with that bread and wine, not only can we remember that Christ's body and blood go inside of us to forgive all of our sins, but on top of that, we can remember another union in this sacrament, a union that I don't think we talk about all that much, a union between you and the Holy Christian Church. For as Paul concludes in our short text, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we're all partaking of the one bread. And notice how often in those two short verses, Paul uses the word we, plural. We bless, we eat and drink, we partake. Also that we, who are many, can become one. In fact, that's brought out in our communion liturgy as well in those opening verses. For after the minister says, "The Lord be with you," and you respond by saying, "And also with you," reminding us of God's presence in this sacrament, the minister then says, "Lift up your hearts." And you respond by saying, "We lift them up to the Lord." You see, the sacrament of Holy Communion is not just an individualistic thing. Oh, it is an individualistic thing. As Christ gives you his very body and blood for forgiveness, Christ gave up his body for you, you personally. He shed his blood for you, you personally, so that he can forgive your sins and take you home to heaven. And so it is an individualistic thing in this sacrament, but it's not just an individualistic thing. There is another unity in the sacrament. A unity of you and the entire Holy Christian Church. They are the we in this sacrament. It's not just those gathered within the four walls at this time. It's not just the members of Gethsemane Lutheran. It's not even just the members of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, though it is good and proper and right and necessary to have closed communion, and we will never change it. But the we in this sacrament is the entire Holy Christian Church. All who believe in Jesus and all who have a proper understanding of this sacrament, they are united together as one when we receive this sacrament, and I think that's fun to think about. Permit me to use myself as an example. As you all know, I live far away from my extended family. Maybe once a year, if that, I get the privilege of kneeling or standing next to my extended family and receiving Holy Communion with them. But every time I receive this sacrament, and every time they receive this sacrament, even though I'm receiving it here in Missouri, and they might be receiving it in Michigan or Wisconsin or California or wherever else they may live, every time we all receive this sacrament, we are united together. We're all receiving the very body of Christ. We're all receiving the same blood of Christ. And we're receiving that body and blood so that we all can receive the same forgiveness that Christ won for us as he suffered and died on the cross. I'm united with them. They're united with me. You're united with them. They're united with you. We're all united as members of the Holy Christian Church every time we come forward and feast on our Lord's body and blood. That's a pretty cool union to think about, isn't it? It shows that we are never alone. And so as the opening verses in the liturgy of Holy Communion conclude, let us give thanks to the Lord. And you say, yes, it is good and right so to do. You see, familiarity cannot breed contempt. Not when this sacrament, not when it is properly understood. There is nothing better than coming forward to receive this sacrament. For we are receiving the very body and blood of our God so that he can forgive us and give us eternal life in heaven. And so rejoice in this privilege we have to receive our Lord's body and blood. It unites you with your God. It unites you with the fellowship of the Holy Christian Church. It reunites you with all believers. So rejoice and receive this sacrament often. For every time you receive this sacrament, you will have unity. Unity with God and unity with one another. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for prayer.